Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And Happy New Year to all! Inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 8th and 9th in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. When a season opens or reopens, indeed, calls for a New Year celebration. Statewide trout season opens up today, 8 a.m. Statewide. It's so cool. I'm on the parkway heading south. What was it? Friday morning. I listen to sister station WPG, 1450 AM. I don't know who the newscaster was, never heard a guy's voice, but check it out. This is great. Someone finally said, he said, and tomorrow opens the statewide trout season. Gave some trout numbers. I said, this is great. Finally, some recognition going on. Before we get to some of the trout numbers and all that good stuff, applications are being accepted for the striped bass bonus tag program. It tells you to fish between 24 to under 28 inches, and you do not have to catch the bigger fish first. You know, the, 28 to under 38. Get your applications in now. Hey, man, a chance to bring home a bass for dinner. Let's get to some of the trout numbers going on this coming week. On Monday, the Toms River is going to get 590, the South Branch of Matitakonk 560, and North Branch of Matitakonk 360. Remember, those three waters, you have to wait until 5 p.m. to fish. Prospertown Lake 290, Lake Shenandoah 420. On Tuesday, Greenwich Lake 360, Harrisonville Lake 360, Iona Lake 330, Swedesboro Lake 410, Shadler Sandwash 310. Wednesday, Birch Grove Park Ponds, the first two ponds right here, basically half a mile from the studio, is going to get 300 divided between those two small ponds. Loaded up. Hamilton Lake right there by, shout out to the Pick Lily in there on 206, 440. Heritage Park Pond, shout out to Captain Dave Showell. Going on there, 330. Gloucester City Pond, 100. Grenlock Lake, 300. Oak Pond behind the Southern Region Fisheries and Law Enforcement Office down there, 330. Rowan's Pond, 100. Grenlock Lake, 300. Powhatan Lake, 480. Thursday, we have Crystal Lake with 420 and Pemberton also getting 420. Sylvan Lake, 330. Tuckahoe Lake, 420. The lovely Ponda Lodge Pond down there in the village at the bottom of the peninsula is going to be getting 370. Mary Elmer Lake, right there above Sunset Lake and Bridgeton, 400. Shaw's Mill Pond, 400. South Violent Park Pond, 370. Not stocked in week one are the Morris and the Cohansie Rivers. Okay, they're going to kick in the following week. I love those two waters there, my Sherman Avenue. Oh, man, it's tough fishing. Those typical South Jersey streams, not the rolling riffles and the deep pools and the chutes and the waterfalls. I mean, that is guerrilla warfare trout fishing. Now, just a reminder, these following waters were only stocked for opening day. Okay, they're not going to get hit the rest of the springtime. Haddon Lake received 510, Westville Pond 180, GM Petro Park Lake there, the little 11-acre lake, 440. Now, don't forget, for GM Petro, got stuck with 50 of those 3.5-year-old breeders up to 7 or 8 pounds. This is going to be a trout fest for the next few weeks. Speaking of trout fest, I mentioned Pacon Lake in Tuckerton. Today, there is a youth trout fishing derby going on. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to go from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Got the cool shop over there from Empire Fishing and Tackle. Right down the shop, right there lakeside. Going to tell us a little bit. Get out. We're going to be heading over there, probably get there around maybe 9 or 9:30 on that day to check it out today. Chris Topeka, owner, how you doing? This is going to be a great time. And I understand you got some three bonus brown trout stock. What's the dealio?
Hey, Tom, how are you? Thanks for having us. Yes, we got three bonus 17-inch brown trout stock for the kids. They're going to be, that's going to be a lot of fun bringing those in.
Oh, yeah.
With the kids, any of the kids pick up any of those 17-inch brown trout, their bonuses, they'll receive a $20 gift certificate.
Nice.
For the store to come on in and help themselves and build up their gear.
That's going to be a lot of fun, Chris. I know there's a lot of chatter about that. I stopped at some place. I was going through the area. I was down New Gretna, Bass River or somewhere. Stopped in to grab one of my Gatorades, and a couple of guys were talking about it. One guy was going to bring his grandkids. I didn't say anything. I said, I hope this guy realizes he has to stop in the shop and register the youngster, correct?
Yes, sir. The way that we're running it, Tom, is you stop at the shop. You come on in, you register with us. With the registration, we're going to give out four tickets. The first ticket is for a container of trout, free container of trout bait.
Nice.
Second, what we're going to do is, you know, the kids are going to get a little bit hungry, so we've got some hamburgers and hot dogs. They're going on the grill. You come on over, they grab a bite.
Hey, Topanka, I'm going to interrupt you right there. This 67-year-old kid's included in this dealio?
Yeah, we might have to feed some of the family, too. We'll be all right with that. Lots of good times. Third ticket, what we're doing is we have our giveaways. We want to make sure all of the kids, and that's the reason why we're calling it a derby and not a trout tournament, because I don't want the four-year-old to be aggravated at the nine-year-old.
good move, Topanka. Good move.
So what we're doing there is making sure all the kids have something to give away, whether it's hooks, bobbers, and a bunch of other trout items. We've got some creels, maybe a trout vest, a few items, maybe some bait.
Chris, this is all great. It's getting the families involved. You can't miss Pack on Lake and Tucker. It's right there on Route 9. You have that long, Chris, what is that, about 200, 300 yards, that boardwalk along Route 9 of fishing access? And then, because we bass fish here on occasion as well, and you have that beach area. Where they see people fishing. So, listeners, it's wide open. There's a boat ramp there, a little car top ramp. If you have a boat or a kayak, all the better. But you don't need a boat. There's plenty of shoreline access. But I will make a suggestion, and Chris will back me up on this. Bring a crab net, because that is a little bit of a drop down to the lake, you know, because I know you're going to hook trout. And listeners, don't forget, 2% of that opening day load included the 2.5 to, and some 3.5-year-old breeders fish 4 or 5 up to 6 pounds. You will definitely need a net.
I absolutely will need a net. We have a bunch of volunteers from the town, some of the clubs around, some of our captains that come into the store are going to be here with us. We are looking forward to seeing you. So we'll all be walking around with nets, because I don't know if everybody's going to have one, but we want to be sure to keep their fish.
Listeners, today that's from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kids Trout Derby Extravaganza at Pack on Lake, that's also known as Tuckerton Lake, on Route 9. Empire Fishing and Tackle is putting it on. That's 11 East Main Street in Tuckerton. You can't miss it. Chris, I'll tell you, I stopped. I have to talk to you about it. I want to purchase a couple of items in there. You're packed to the ceiling, man. You have everything in there from small stream trout to canyon tuna. How did you do it?
We tried to use every square inch we could in this store that we do have, making sure that we have everything for all of our fishermen along our coast.
And what was that? What was it? The Arsenio Hall character and the barber coming to America. He ain't lying. It is all there. Well, Chris, God spares. We'll see you a little later this morning. Listeners, Empire Fishing and Tackles, the inaugural Kids Trout Derby Extravaganza, ages 14 and under. Today from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., you register to get a tickets for a hamburger, hot dog. You're going to get some gifts. It's going to be a great time. And, Chris, we shall see you there in a little while, brother.
See you there in a little while. We also have the raffle that's going to be going on at the very end.
Oh.
Got a couple wonderful giveaways for the raffle. We got some rods, some reels, a custom rod and wheel by one of our vendors. And come on down, make some memories with the kids and the family.
I ask you one more time, do 67-year-old kids qualify? I'll see you then, Topanka. You take care, brother.
Thank you, Tom. Have a great day.
See ya. That's going to be a fun time. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, opening day of trout, and they are going to be giving the numbers. Plenty of fish out there. It's just a lot of fun. Hey, do the first few weeks in April. By May, I know everyone's, you know, we're into the drum and we're into, you know, whatever, but fun trout. And it's, the enthusiasm for trout fishing is indeed spreading to New Jersey by trout stamp sales, and we have some great waters down here. It's different than up north or even the central part of state, but great opportunities. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Uh oh. What is it? What's coming up? Ooh, in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It's turkey time. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
But, man, it is coming up. It is coming up in a few weeks. We got it, man. Oh, hen baby. Henrietta, come talk to me. Get that big gobbler coming down. Gobbler season is going to open up, and the first week is going to be May. Well, period A is going to be April 24th to 28th. Period B, that's where we're locked in. It's going to be May 1st to May 5th. We'll be out there, I think, turkey hunting area. What's that? 14, 16, one of them. It is just, there are birds everywhere. My travels this past week especially blew my mind, though. Check this out. Two gobblers in full fan, whoa, in a freaking driveway. It was out by Buna. Again, in my area out there, going, checking all the way out there. Six or seven hens around, not paying them the least bit of attention. And these guys look like, and they weren't aggressive towards you. They're just like strutting their stuff. And man, let me tell you, the guy behind me is beeping his horn. Hurry up, fat boy. Move that Xterra. But join us on the line right now. Great guest on Rack and Fin Radio. Try to get him on a couple of times here. Is Jimmy Sloan. He is a wildlife biologist, and he's head of the Upland Game Project here for DEP's Bureau of Wildlife Management. Going to get a prospectus on his take on the turkey season, the spring gobbler season. Last year, the take was 2,317. That was down 10 birds from the year before. It seems like, I asked Jimmy, it seems like the, trending downwards, and why? We have a lot of birds, a lot of hunting area here, but we shall, weather plays a big factor in it, man. I love my turkey hunting, even in a blind. I'll be damned if I'm sitting through a spring rainstorm. Jimmy, how you doing, man? I get a little too excited. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Tom P., thanks for having me.
Okay, full disclosure, I got Sloan. He's at the boat ramp waiting to go striper fishing, so we'll keep it short and quick. Jimmy, this time of year, sorry about that, man. But, Jimmy, let's talk to gobblers. How's it looking, brother?
It's looking pretty good, actually. I heard you mention the harvest is down last year by 10 birds. Last year we had 9,700 individual turkey hunters. The year before that, when we killed 2,327 birds, we had 1,000 more individual hunters.
Well, there you go. Is that what they call the COVID factor, Jimmy?
Yeah, the COVID bump. You know, yep. I got this feeling that a bunch of guys went out to try public land and they really weren't too sure what they were doing, and that makes for a tough turkey hunt.
He said that for my benefit, people. Sloan knows my lack of turkey acumen. But, Jimmy, public land especially. Now, I've been up, my travel, Jimmy, you know me. I'm everywhere from Stokes down to Beaver Swamp there in Cape May. I'm seeing a lot of birds on public land. And so the opportunities are certainly there. Jimmy, as I always say, weather is a factor in the spring. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, but you got to change your hunting tactics. I mean, if it's raining, you got to be hunting those fields. Those birds want to be out in the wide open.
Yeah,
you know, they lose one of their senses when it's raining. You know, their hearing isn't as good as it would be if it was, you know, dry, crisp, cool morning.
This is true. Again, you knock one of those senses out, and they're more vulnerable. Just to me, the clamminess. And I get all the clothes. I got the hex. I got all that. Nah, that's not for me. But you're so now driving rain as one thing. I've noticed hunting with some Sharpies down here since I've been in South Jersey. They like a light, misty rain. Overcast, misty rain, maybe a little bit of a breeze, and they score on some big-ass gobblers, Sloan. Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy, hot areas in South Jersey. I mean, you're seeing a rise in numbers, decline in numbers, flocks overall, especially in the southern tier turkey hunting areas. What do you have?
Yeah, so, I mean, the overall state population is approximately 20,000 birds. We have seen the harvest trends declining in the north, specifically turkey hunting areas 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. Now, in the south, harvest trends, they seem to be stable or mm-hmm. slightly increasing, you know, especially in 12, 14, 20, 21, and 22. I mean, South Jersey is the cream of the crop for eastern wild turkey hunting.
Yeah, listen, for anyone,
it's amazing.
Anyone complaining about lack of public turkey hunting areas, on page 51 of the digest, the Hunting Digest 2022-2023, there's a turkey hunting map. Turn to page 52, and there are all the turkey hunting areas. Public lands, and there's thousands, tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of acres. Okay, not all of it the most conducive turkey habitat, but more than enough there to offer your ample opportunities. Jim, reproduction does get affected. Cold, wet spring, correct? How was poult production last year? What is your data find?
So, poults per hen last year was 3.48, which is higher than it's been the last 3 or 4 years.
Not bad, man. Whoa, that's good.
Yeah, so last year we went to the electronic brood survey. I just want all your listeners to know that that will be opening up in June 1st and to report your observations because it's really important for us setting the regulations.
Mm-hmm. Jim, the decline in the north, again, that's where it all started, the resurgence of the wild turkeys in New Jersey. It was 79 or 80, whatever, and it was high, and then it goes down, and then it goes up. These fluctuations, is it? Is it a habitat-driven as per development, gobbling up more? We have the public lands. So don't get me wrong. We have a lot of private land up there, too, that's getting chomped up with development. What could be one of the reasons for that kind of decline?
I think one of the big ones is lacking habitat management on our private lands in North Jersey. I mean, if you look at Fish and Wildlife's properties and parks and forestries, you know, most of our properties are below 287. Mm-hmm. Once you get above 287, except for Delaware Water Gaps, Stokes, High Point, there's not a ton of public land. And the private land out there really needs to do active habitat management to, you know, get these turkeys. If we get a good dry spring, we need production out of these birds.
Mm-hmm.
And any type of habitat management geared towards game birds will give them that extra push they need.
And Jim, again, the statewide flock at around 20,000, that's about, that's a lot of birds. I mean, are we at our maximum carrying habitat capacity?
Yeah. I think, in the mid-2000s, we hit carrying capacity. You know, there was birds behind every tree.
Oh, you ain't lying.
it's starting to level out now since the reintroduction in 77 when Bob Erickson and Joe Garris what they did is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Jim, nuisance birds. You read this on occasion, whether online or in a newspaper, you know, reports, or whatever. In the suburbs, those birds are trapped, or where are they relocated? I mean, far enough away that they don't come back? I mean, what's the deal?
Yeah, so for this year and part of last year, so for 3 months, that's all I do is nuisance turkeys. I'm trapping them, relocating them. All the birds this year went north. Clinton, WMA, Flatbrook,
mm-hmm.
Pequest, Hackettstown. So the birds are going north. I'm removing birds most of the time from 55 or older communities. They love bird seed. They cause property damage. I trap them and I move them up north.
Well, Jim, I noticed that some of those properties you just mentioned, they're playing, have a lot of fields in there. Flatbrook, Wallpack, in the gap. So hopefully that'll maybe jumpstart the population a little bit, no?
Yes. And any bird that I translocate has a band on it with an email address. If you harvest one of those birds, I have a nice little reward for you.
Ooh. I know where I'm going to be. Hey, we're up against a break. Jimmy Sloan, he is a wildlife biologist, DEP's Bureau of Wildlife Management. Jimmy is also the Upland Game Bird Project leader. We're talking the turkey prospectus. Season's coming up very, very quickly. Jimmy, hang in for one more segment. Let's talk some of those data things you found, okay?
All righty.
Okay, people, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Jimmy Sloan talking turkeys. Oh, Henrietta, baby. Ooh, come to Uncle Tom P. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
My dad, he's a double amputee, and he's one of my favorite people in the world. To me, a hero is someone who fights for our country and freedom. My dad is a hero. Most of our troops built this house, and it's basically made for him. My dad can get through the wide doorways. When he is making our lunch, he can reach anything we need. He'll help me build tiny projects. Life is good here. Without Homes for Our Troops, we'd be living in a home that didn't have all these features that helped him.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives.
If they get a new house like this one, it'll help them, like, do normal life. My dad's not just a hero, he's my hero.
Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, that this department is reaching out to the community, and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom and when they come home.
I had just come home from serving over in Germany. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed for the rest of my life.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America, because they've kept their promise to never leave a fallen soldier behind. A roof over their heads, accessible homes, cars, jobs, benefits.
PVA has brought me back to life.
Show them their sacrifice hasn't been in vain. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are a few of the things many of us take for granted. Yet for many United States military veterans, finding and affording oral health care is a challenge. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. Will you volunteer to help people like Richard, a U.S. Naval veteran who suffered severe PTSD after his service? He was left homeless for a period of time, and his oral and overall health are suffering. Because of congressional limitations, the VA can't provide the dental help he needs. Through our Will You See One Vet program, we focus on helping U.S. military veterans like Richard. Now we are seeking more general dentists and specialists to donate treatment to at least one one veteran with special needs. When you volunteer with DLN's program to see one vet, we handle the details so you can focus on the care. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message and help us make a difference in the life of a veteran in need. Visit willyouseeonevet.org to learn more. That's willyouseeonevet.org.
Are they ready? Are you ready? Giving your child their first phone is an important and often difficult decision. After all, it is a milestone in your child's development. The Phone Ready Quiz from the American Academy of Pediatrics can help make this decision easier. Go to healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz to take a short questionnaire developed by pediatricians that'll help you decide if you and your child are ready, almost ready, or not yet ready for their first phone. And get tips about how your child can develop a healthy relationship with technology. So, are they ready, almost ready, or not yet ready? What about you? Go to healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz today. Just 10 short questions can help you find out. That's healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Well, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 8th and 9th. Happy New Year weekend. We're talking with Jimmy Sloan. He is the Upland Game Bird Project Leader, Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Wildlife Management within the DEP. We're talking turkeys, we're talking gobblers. Well, Jimmy, you had some interesting data stuff that you sent me, and we're chewing this over. You have some good stuff about turkeys to talk about. Very interesting. What's your dealio?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of our users, they ask, you know, and they want to know why New Jersey doesn't have a bag limit. And they want, normally it's, you know, nobody needs to kill more than two birds is what we hear. So I wanted to look at the data and see, you know, do we have a problem? So after looking at it, only 92 individual hunters harvested more than two or more birds. So that's out of 9,700 individual hunters, 92 hunters harvested two or more. So to me, looking at that, we don't have a problem with the bag limit.
Yeah, Jim, I hear that on occasion, too. I mean, gee, that's like with the deer, right? You go out and you shoot 20, 60, you can go out and you can shoot a dozen. How many people actually do that, have the time to do it? And if they're able to get more than one bird, God bless them. More power to them. They're putting in the time. And yeah. You're saying it doesn't impact the overall population, correct?
No. The bag limit that New Jersey currently has, where one bird per permit per day, is not affecting the harvest at all.
So on the overall now, Jim, gobbler, you know, polygamous. Will a gobbler mate, again, he'll mate with as many hens as possible?
Yes. Yep.
And carrying that gene pool on, again, the dominant male, the alpha male, will the jakes get a shot at it? Other, like, lesser males in the area get, or is he, like, he's the king of the roost, so to speak?
Well, he can only chase so many hens at so many times, so them jakes will get their time to shine.
I like the teenagers, man. Hey, we were all teenagers once. Jim, let's get to one thing that I was curious about when it was in, I forget how many years ago that we went to for segment D in the last of segment E, where you can hunt until sunset. Has that impact? I heard everything from why haven't we done it so far? It took so long. It's not going to make a difference, too. On the other end, the pendulum on the other end, they're going to wipe out birds. It's BS. We don't need to. Has there been any kind of impact with that, extending the hunting hours for that short, you know, that short period?
No. So actually, 138 birds were actually harvested afternoon, you know, during period D or the last Saturday in period E. Mm-hmm. So that's 138 out of 2,317. That's less than 4% of the harvest is actually done afternoon. So, I mean, I think it's great that we're giving the opportunity to our users. You know, we're giving them more time in the field for that permit price. But the truth is, the birds just aren't getting killed the way we thought they were going to get killed, and they can, you know, have a negative effect on our season, harvest, and population.
Oh, Jim, like I said, I try to say to some people, you know, it's not that everyone's going to be out there taking advantage of every permit holder that has that time slot. It's giving them the opportunity to go, especially in the youngsters, you know, in school or whatever, and they can finally get out, and there's a chance for them to go out in the afternoon. And I've seen plenty of birds, not too many gobblers, but again, it's me, in that afternoon, and it's just great to have that opportunity. Now, are there any plans to expand that? Like maybe make it add a few days to it, make it a week earlier, or you guys are satisfied right there?
Currently, no. There isn't any opportunity to expand that season.
Jim,
one thing that's always got me a little crazy is...
you have to know Sloan, man. He gets wired.
I know. So the turkey hunter who purchases a period E only gets 4 Saturdays. The other periods have 5 days, and period D has 10 days.
Right.
So, you know, the guy who's getting the Saturdays is only getting 4 Saturdays. That's something that needs to be discussed internally and, you know, discussed with our partners, especially National Wild Turkey Federation. Shout mm-hmm. out to them. They've been doing awesome here in the state of New Jersey. But that's something that needs to be looked at here in the next few game code changes.
Jim, years ago, I wonder if you may have not even been with I can't say division anymore. You know, with wildlife, whatever. Maybe you were when they took away a week. Remember that? A week was
that had to be before my
yeah,
time.
Yeah, and I said like why? And Tony, shout out to Tony McBride. He was a turkey project leader at the time. He gave a good explanation. And somebody brought up, well, they're going to, now I'm putting you on the spot zone, are they going to reduce the price of the permit? They're taking a week away. What was the thing earlier in the week? The hens were still vulnerable or something beyond an S? What was that all about? Do you remember? Did you hear about it?
So, right currently in the Southeast, all the states are moving their season back. So we set our season to open on the mean incubation period. So that's when the hens are on the nest. All right, then we can go and take care of the gobblers. So that's mm-hmm. half of our hens are going to be on nests, and that ensures we get, you know, a good clutch, successful reproduction to carry over to the next year.
Go ahead.
So I was just going to mention that, you know, we're going to start this research project in the fall of 2023 to see if the change, if incubation period has changed.
Was that, could that be the climate thing or something? What could be causing that, an incubation change?
I don't know, but I hope this research project tells us.
Okay, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy, yeah, that's good. Now, again, this study that's coming up, we'll know more about what's going on with our hens and our gobblers and our poults and our jakes and whatever in the upcoming year. Jim, before I let you go, overall perspectives for this spring, what do you got?
If I had to guess, we're going to kill about 2,600 birds, so about 300 more birds than last year. A few of the reasons is we had a really mild winter. I mean, it was mild.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, this green up's going to happen.
It's happening fast, man. We're all going to be in the high bush blueberries already getting green. Like, oh, no.
It is. The ticks and chiggers are going to be awful. We can get, or ticks anyways, not chiggers, sorry. I'm stuck in my piney ways that I'm scared to death of chiggers.
Jim, so the overall health of the statewide flock is good. We have no problems with avian, whatever. So we're looking forward for a solid spring season. And great job there, Sloan. You guys keep kicking gobbler ass, man. All I will say, it's just when I get the permits, you know, leftover unclaimed permits, week D, week C, week whatever. It just seems that later, that 2 week segment, towards the end, it is really, really tough. Shout out to you, Carver. You taught me a lesson on that. You put your time in, man. Those last gobblers are saying, yeah, one more chance to have a lady. And that to me is a supreme challenge, that last 2 week period. They've been shot at. They've been chased. It's been crazy. Yeah, Jim, so that last, like I said, that last period, Tom P., I'm going to see if there are any leftover or unclaimed permits for that. And I'll be scrambling around the woods, a little portable blind on my back and my box call and my I still call it a slate. Well, Jimmy, thanks for joining us. Are you going to be able to get out in the turkey woods or fields or whatever?
Yes. Yes. I didn't get my first lottery choice. I did get my second and third, so sometimes even I don't get the permits I want. But, yes, I will be out at least three of the periods.
Yeah, you always hear that. The fix is in for the people who work for Fish and Wildlife. That's not the case, man. Well, Jimmy, go out and catch some stripers. Hope to see you. We'll talk some turkey sometime over a cold brewski. What do you got? Good idea?
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom. That sounds like a plan.
Go get some bass. We'll see you.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, looking forward to a good gobbler season. Yeah, but he's right. It is greening up quickly. I mean, I remember I had Ronnie Jones on last year talking, you know, talking turkeys. And look around. I stood. I didn't hear this bird coming in. Yep, nothing. 5 minutes left. 5 minutes. You know how long 5 minutes is? Stood up right to my left, probably 20 yards out. Boof! And there he was. I didn't hear him coming. Not paying attention. Oh, turkey, man, I'll drive you crazy. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Fox News. I'm Carmen Roberts. Deputies in Florida arrest a teenager and a 12-year-old boy for the murder of three teens in Ocala, and a third suspect is on the run. Marion County Sheriff Billy Woods says all six knew each other, likely through gang activity.
There is no honor among thieves. And at some point, these three individuals turned on our three victims and murdered them.
Wood says the third suspect is a teenage boy. Use of the abortion pill mifepristone is in question following two contradicting federal court rulings last night.
The DOJ will appeal a decision by a federal judge in Texas that put a hold on the FDA's approval of an abortion drug. Meantime, in a separate ruling, a Washington state federal judge ordered the FDA to continue to distribute the abortion pill, which may set the stage for a future Supreme Court showdown.
America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. We'll see considerable cloudiness overnight. Expect an overnight low of 38. Clouds and breaks of sunshine for Saturday with a high of 52. Partly cloudy skies for your Saturday night with a low of 33. Easter Sunday, abundant sunshine. The best day of the weekend weather-wise with a high of 57. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, man, talking turkey with Jimmy Sloan. Okay, earlier segment, we were talking about the trout stocking going on this week. Had three or four calls and a couple of texts regarding my article that was in the April edition of the Fisherman Magazine. New Jersey stock update and trouting the ongs, the muskinek on, the pahakon, lopakon, whatever. There's one thing in particular, which is all the common theme. My area where we fish on the Pohackon, I mentioned that, again, it's deadly. Just the trout magnet is deadly. Fishing the magnet with a mini magnet trailer. Tom P., where the hell's a mini magnet? We're going to get a mini magnet. Go to troutmagnet.com, obviously. But no one was really familiar with that. I was turned on to by Jeff Smith from Trout Magnet. He's on the line with us right now to just explain the rigging of this and how, especially on the smaller swims, I like this. How effective, and we also did all right with the lakes on it, how effective this double shot magnet can be. Jeff Smith, happy Easter. Thanks for joining us, little brother. How's the family?
Hey, thanks. Doing all right. Great to hear from you, bud.
Oh, yeah, it's been a while, Jeff. We've been magnetizing. Oh. In fact, listeners, I have this door in the spring. Monday is, it's I always call it Magnet Monday. Unless I'm on a big, heavy water, a lot of rain, then it's a MEPS Monday. But it's always the Magnet Monday. Okay. But, Jeff, on this tandem here, like you showed me what to do, how to use it. It's absolutely deadly. Listen, you have to have magnets in your fishing vest or in your tackle box. But, Jeff, explain this trailer, this little mini magnet. Now, we've used it. Listen, most guys use it ice fishing that I know about. And, Jeff, a lot of fly guys are using this now. You know, but
yeah, they are.
It's a killer.
It's a killer. And here's what we found out. You know, 30 years ago, when we made the trout magnet, we would step up to a stream, Tom P., and it would be as ugly as anything you've ever seen in your life because no one was using small stuff back then, and nobody had anything like a trout magnet. And even to this day, I mean, no one has anything like it, but they get closer with smaller jigs and smaller presentations. So the bite sometimes can actually change, even with a trout magnet. You'll catch a few, then it'll slow down.
Right.
So what we did is we started playing with smaller presentations. Now, the trout magnet's a 64th of an ounce with a little split tail. The mini magnet is a 1/200th of an ounce.
Yep.
And it is tiny, tiny, tiny. So what we found is we'd hit these holes, we'd catch 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, how many was ever in there? You know, caught a bunch of them. Then the bite would slow down. We'd go through different colors, pick up a few, then it would be very stale, right? We go to this little mini magnet, boom, pick up a few right off the bat. Because it go to a smaller presentation, they, you know, reacted to it a whole lot better. So what we did is we would tie a trout magnet on and leave the tag end about 12 to 16 inches long. That's the part you would typically trim off. The reason I like to do that is that lets me change the body of the trout magnet, you know, up top,
right,
the upper one.
Right.
If you tie it to the bottom of the hook, like the turn, then you're stuck with whatever body you got on. So I leave that tag in. Then on that tag in, I tie my mini magnet on it. And so now when I'm drifting it, I put my float on there. If the water looks, you know, let's say 3 feet deep, then I'll put my float about 3 feet or maybe even a little bit more from that mini magnet, because it's usually not going to drift completely straight anyways unless the water is completely still. And that mini magnet is the bottom, and the trout magnet's 12 to 16 inches above it. And so I'm drifting that little mini magnet right off the nose of those trout, and, man, they react to it again. So not only have I magnetized them once, I magnetized them twice.
Well, Jeff, I've used that rig as well, but I prefer, this is me, because I have the confidence in it. I'll do it on the hook bend, but here's what it is. I use either the bubble gum, the gainer, the mealworm, or the purple haze. Those are my four colors. Sometimes I have a chartreuse in there. I have a chartreuse sparkle for the most, and I stick with those. When it's really tough, then I'll re-rig it that way. But listeners, again, having that mini magnet on there, it literally doubles your chances. And try it. It's absolutely, positively deadly, especially when the bite gets finicky. A little later on, late April and May, on the Cohansie, on the Morris River, on the Matitoconk North and South Branch, on the Toms, especially down at Trout Conservation Area. Jeff, it's a deadly 1-2 punch, and thanks for sharing that, man. It rocks.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, it really is pretty neat to use. You know, you always start with the trout magnet first, but then when it slows down, that mini magnet is always good for a few more fish. It's pretty deadly combo for sure. And here's what we found. It actually works better fishing that trout magnet and mini magnet than two mini magnets and split shots. And I've seen it. I've seen it so many times. Those trout will come up, the upper trout magnet's so big they come up and see it, but they don't like to feed up a whole lot like that. They want to stay close to bottom. And so they'll see it, but then they'll turn and they'll eat that mini magnet. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen them look at that big one, then go down along the bottom, suck that little one in.
Boom, and that's it. Especially when, I'll tell you, some of the streams are on, and some of like, they were on the Gammarus, North Jersey, on the Gammarus, those little teeny tiny freshwater shrimp. And boom, that mini does. Now, listen, the trout magnet, Searcy, Arkansas. He's a top P. What people in Arkansas know about you? You figure spotted bass, largemouth, some smallmouth, channel cats, stripers, blue cats, flathead cats. Arkansas has a badass trout fishery, does it not, sir?
Oh, yeah. We have some of the best trout fishing in the country. It is the best fishing in the country, in my opinion. You catch big ones, I mean, monster fish down here. One of our guys this past week caught a 30-inch, 10-pound, 11-ounce brown trout. a wild fish. That's a wild fish, you know, grown from an egg. Because we have wild browns here. So it's pretty crazy, and it's hard to believe right here in Arkansas.
Well, what better place to field test new products? Jeff, before I let you go, on the mini magnet, on the field testing at just downsizing that 164 to 1/200, that had to be painstaking, was it not?
Yeah, and getting the right hook and getting everything exactly right was pretty tricky, because you got to remember that everything's balanced with the trout magnet. It falls flat.
Mm-hmm.
So making the body had to be altered and changed so it looks like a trout magnet the way it falls. There's something about a horizontal presentation to a trout. Most jigs don't present themselves horizontally.
They're nose down, ball out, boom, right.
They're nose down, that's right. And so, and that can be okay if they want a fast presentation, but most of the time when you're fishing for these trout, you can see them laying out there, and they're not looking for a fast presentation. They're looking for a slow drift coming through, something they can sip on, eat, you know, that gets a little bit more of a natural bite.
You got it. Jeff Smith, thanks so much for joining us on Rockin'. Best of the family. Happy Easter. Hope to see you at ICAST, maybe.
Hey, I will be there. We're going to have a giant booth this year. So,
by the way, listeners, go give that website, please, and check out that Trout Magnet SOS line. Whoa, is that a 2-pound test, Smith? Whoa, is that good?
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Oh, my gosh, I've caught some giants. In fact, that 10-pound 11-ounce brown was caught on a Trout Magnet on 2-pound test.
And there
so it's stout.
And there you go. You take care, Mr. Smith. Godspeed. See you soon.
Hey, God bless Sore Lip 'Em All, Tom P.
Hey, brother. See you, man. Sore Lip 'Em All, Trout Magnet Rocks. Okay, man, we're going to get back with a couple of fishing reports. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, let's wrap it with some fish reports out there. Let's kick it off with Mike the Critter Cunningham, Seattle Bait and Tackle here in Fish Alley in Seattle. Mike, how's it going, brother?
Everything's going good, Tom. The fishing report here through March has been away from the coast, up the Tucker River, the Egg Harbor River, but the coast has really, really taken off here in the past week.
Nice!
We have great striper reports from up at Corson's Inlet. I mean, we're seeing, maybe a 10-to-1, a 12-to-1 ratio of throwbacks to keepers, which is great, a bunch of fish in the 30-inch range.
Beautiful!
We're seeing the tog bite at Townsend's Inlet has really, kicked into gear, and that's been going. I just met with Captain Joe Hughes. He's fishing the backwaters up in the skinny creeks and channels. He's got stripers back there. There's rumors that there's been a weak fish or two around. I can't confirm that just yet.
I have
not seen a bluefish yet, but there's been some accidental flounder caught. We know that they are starting to move in. So, yep. Really, in the past week, we've seen an influx of fish, and it's just going to get better from here. We're looking for an awesome April.
Mike, that's great. Now, the water temperature must have bumped up a few degrees. What do you think was the catalyst?
It did. Well, here's what I see. Every spring, it's the same thing. The commercial crabbers head out, and they start crabbing. They're catching a bushel or two a day. All of a sudden, I see them drive past the store with a truckload of bushel baskets. Within a day or two,
there you go.
Everything around here kicks off. I think the crabs come out of the mud, and that triggers everything else, because I've been watching it for 15 years now. The same thing happens every year. Right. Once the crabbers start filling their pots, everything else kicks into gear.
Join us on the Rock and Fin Live for a quick fishing report is Mike Cunningham, Seattle Bait and Tackle there in Fish Alley, exit 17. Mike, the striper bite, plastics, bloodworms, what?
Almost all plastics. A variety of colors. Anything in your pink family, anything in your white family. I got guys going with bloodworms, clams, and not that they're not catching any, but they're just battling the sharks and the other crap.
That's what happens,
If you like fish and bait, go do that. But if you like catching fish, get yourself a decent rod, go throw some lures around, and have some fun.
Mike, at night, is that when you're hearing anything about the weakies? And is there a striper bite after hours?
Yeah, they're still in the lights. They've been in the lights all spring, they've been there all spring doing that. It's this daytime bite that has really kicked into gear, that has gotten guys excited. Not a lot of guys like going out at 2, 3 in the morning and fishing underneath a bridge like a troll, but that bite's still going, but the day bite has kicked into gear quite a bit.
I just knocked off a couple of days my upcoming week's trout travels. I'll be down your way, Cunningham. Mike, very quickly, very limited bite, I realize that, but I know they're still picking some around here. Any people, and it's only a 2-fish limit, listeners, I know, but anything popping with the winter flounder? You hearing anything, Mike?
To be 100% honest, I haven't. Maybe it just hasn't funneled back to me. I drive and look at Ludlam Bay every morning and every evening. I haven't seen anybody out there trying, which is what we need guys to try in order to get those reports. I haven't heard anything.
Okay, Mike, do me a favor. Give that phone number, please.
Seattle Bait and Tackle on the corner of 42nd and Park Road here in the heart of Fish Alley, Seattle City. 609-263-6540.
And the $64 question for Mike Cunningham. Will Mike Cunningham get out to fish at all this week?
I'm waiting for an invite to go trout fishing. I've never trout fished in my whole life.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Consider this is on the air. Consider the invite made, little brother. Listen to me.
Give that a shot.
You're going to be spending a day with Tom P. So bring the ibuprofen and the earmuffs, man. But we're going to catch trout. You're going to get tired of catching them, man.
We'll invite Ronnie Jones, and we'll really have a good day.
Oh, listen to me. That trout set he has, Critter. Listen to me. This is how good. Listen, check that. I'll cut a square of surgical sponge. You get it at the Rite Aid, whatever. I'll soak that and I'll drift that, and you catch trout with the sponge. Can you believe
it's
that?
It's amazing some of the stuff he has put together. That he taught me. He taught my trapping class when I was 17, 25 years ago almost. He's a great guy, and I love every time I catch up with him. I love having a good conversation.
Listen to me. Thanks for reminding me. I have to get Jonesy a call after I'm out of the studio. I need a couple of bottles. Okay, man. You take care, Critter. See you.
Have a good day.
And getting him on the water right now, Captain Dave the Rave Show of Absecon Bay Sports Center, 81 Natalie Terrace in Absecon, Trout Central for Heritage Park Pond. But he is on the water, striper fishing. Captain Dave, what's happening?
Well, we finally got one. Nothing, but they're here. The water temperature's up. We're hitting the 60-degree mark, and we just put a nice 22-incher in the boat. Yeah, throwing gulp on the banks with these gulp paddle tails do the trick.
Okay, Dave. Again, the chartreuse. Any of them? You trying any white or any other colors?
Well, I think it was either the chartreuse pepper neon or the chartreuse with the yellow tail. Yeah, the white with the yellow chartreuse tail.
Uh huh.
Because you know, you say it all the time, and I just gotta agree with you. What is that?
Ain't no use if it ain't chartreuse. Hey, Cap, you see my trout vest? Every salmon egg in there is chartreuse. Every power bait is our chartreuse. Every trout magnet is chartreuse. It's what it is. Fresh or salt.
Yeah, well, when you get something, fishing is confidence, and you have to be confident in what you're using. I use my bait caster. I got a 3/4 ounce jig head with a five inch chartreuse paddle tail. You know, some shade of chartreuse, but it's got to have the chartreuse in it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe pure white, but beyond that. So you just throw it, you drop it down, you jig it, you know, whatever it takes, and the fish will bite it.
Okay, Cap, how's it look for this coming week for the bass in the back where you are? What do you got?
Well, we're looking at the Easter full moon, and I'll tell you, you know the herring are coming up, you know the big girls are going to be falling,
right behind them,
thinking about spawning. We got the temperatures coming up, they're looking for... We are going to be looking at spawning time up here in East New Jersey rivers this week.
Okay, listen.
Not a doubt.
And don't forget now, trout season on. Heritage Park Pond received 30 of these big jumbo 3.5-year-old fish up to 6-7 pounds or better. Bring any trout you catch Heritage Park Pond, the youngsters, to Captain Dave the Rave Show of Absecon Bay Sportsman Center. And Dave, you have some gift cards for him? What's the dealio?
Yeah, thanks to you, thanks to Rack and Fin Radio. We have 7 there. It's a $10 gift card for anybody 16 or under brings in a trout. You know, if shows it off, it's going to cost you a picture because we need a smile. We need a smile and a picture, and that's all we need. You get a $10 gift certificate for the shop.
There you go.
Can't beat that.
Okay, Cap, you take care, man. Go catch him up, will you? Stop yapping to me.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Well, that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Before we go, shout out. Shout out. I was going to in the beginning, but I just get too fired up with the trash. Shout out to Bill the Commercial Clammer. Met him at a tackle shop up there in, what was that, Southern Ocean County the other day. Cool guy. May the top necks, little necks, middle necks, whatever the necks are, be with you. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. As everybody says, it's busting wide open. Fresh or salt, bass, trout, stripers, tog. Go out and enjoy. Happy Easter. See you next week.